Now we're going to continue with our programming with a yearly favorite, Stan Sucher, who's doing his case law update. Stan, who is right there, he keeps moving about behind me. He's the longtime editor-in-chief of Entertainment Law and Finance. He's also professor emeritus of music and entertainment industry studies at the University of Colorado, Denver, and an entertainment attorney. This is his 22nd consecutive year presenting at ELI. I feel like that deserves applause. I think he's also been a member of the planning committee most, if not all, of that time. He was a 2014 recipient of Tesla's Texas Star Award, which we'll be presenting to this year's awardee during the lunch hour today. He has presented at hundreds, it looks like, dozens and dozens of fantastic institutions and events around the country. He is a multi-recipient of ASCAP Deems Taylor Awards for Excellence in Music Journalism and author of the books Baby, You're a Rich Man, Suing the Beatles for Fun and Profit, and They Fought the Law, Rock Music Goes to Court. Let's welcome Stan.
Thank you so much, Amy. Appreciate that introduction. And it's great to be here, to be back, to do another round of annual roundup of notable entertainment industry court rulings. Of course, we have so much possibly that could be included. Tomorrow morning we'll have Gordon Firemark and Tamara Bennett doing their entertainment law podcast live of very recent cases. So you'll have that too to think about, you know, new case decisions. What should I know? Two sessions. But so I'll be going through the year, and I'm also added in some new material. I'll try to leave a little time at the end for any questions you may have. If there isn't time for any questions you might have at the end, I'll be here to talk to you if you want to ask those questions directly outside of this presentation. So why don't we get started, and let's go to, there's our title. Okay, let me just get my notes open here, and we'll be right on our way. So the first case I want to talk to you about, let me just bring this up right here. Is actually, I'm going to give you, add in a case, you'll see the, oops, it's this one right here. So this one we're going to talk about. The most recent ruling, which is from 2023, in this particular, put this down. Don't want to make that too much of a weaponizing kind of thing on you. So anyway, so this is, as you can see from the title, we have Little Wayne's lawsuit here against Ron Sweeney. I would like to also include, we're going to go through this and a prior litigation involving the two. Carter is Little Wayne, and Ron Sweeney is an attorney and a manager. Now, Ron Sweeney is somebody who's had California law license, New York. He and Little Wayne met in around 2006. They had lunch in LA, and they started talking about striking up a professional relationship. But as in these particular cases, this one here and then one I'm going to add in, you'll see that there's a question here as to what was Ron Sweeney's actual role with Little Wayne. Little Wayne says he meant for Ron Sweeney to be his attorney, his entertainment lawyer. Ron Sweeney says, well, I have my law licenses, but Wayne and I entered into four, this is what he says, Ron Sweeney, we entered into four oral agreements that dealt with management issues. My commission was 10%. It went up towards the end to 17%. That included Ron Sweeney saying his share of the sale of Little Wayne's sound recordings to UMG. It included some monies from some other litigation settlements that went on, including with Sound Exchange.